This album's celebrating an anniversary.
What's up, Sam?
Kia ora tato.
Kia ora.
What's up?
It's
O Week here.
Yes, it's O Week here.
So there's suddenly millions of people.
Yeah, and they all look so confused yet hopeful.
I know.
Wait until the next week when they're all sparsely.
Reality kicks in.
In despair.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to uni life, kids.
Come up to BFM.
Come up to BFM. Do
sign
some
up.
Volunteers.
We've got a stall happening in the park, actually. You should go there and sign up.
Yeah. We have a table this time. Last time we didn't have one of those. And now we do because we're on the up and up.
Little improvements make a big difference.
Yeah. So get down there, talk to. You don't have to actually be at the university to volunteer at BFM.
I think they made a flyer this year as well.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Cool.
Anyway, today we're going to look at the self-titled debut album from Manchester band, The Stone Roses. Sorry.
That
was my Manchester accent. Yeah,
nice,
yeah.
Bro.
It's turning 30. Everyone seems to be turning 30 at the moment.
I'm turning 30.
I turned 30 in December.
Yeah.
And lots of these albums are turning 30. It's just the way it is.
Just in time for Christmas.
Exactly, yeah. So just a bit of background about The Stone Roses. They were formed in 1983 in Manchester. By lead singer Ian Brown and guitarist John Squire. This came out of several other attempts to form a band in the previous few years, and they would eventually be joined by drummer Rennie in 1984 and bass player Manny in 1987. As you can see, I'm kind of, you know, incorporating the local
there
accent here. And in the late 80s and early 90s, they were at the centre of a new kind of music scene in Manchester, which became known as Madchester, actually. And this saw a kind of moulding of dance culture and rave culture and music and alternative sort of guitar music, and this included other bands such as the Inspiral Carpets, James, and also Happy Mondays, who played in Auckland last week.
I know someone who went to twice in a row.
That's good. That's a
so
good effort.
Shout outs to yous who are feeling wrecked.
Mate Johnny in the sales team went both nights.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of appropriate that we're doing a Stone Roses album when the Happy Mondays were in town. Yeah. I didn't do that consciously, but
but
it's just a coincidence.
You're on the zeitgeist.
Exactly. So in the lead up to the recording of this album, they released a handful of singles and they played the gig circuit quite extensively around Manchester. And early on, their music was largely in the traditional kind of indie mold. And it wasn't until the recording of the debut album that they started to experiment and expand their sound a bit more, and it was basically on this record where they pretty much invented the template for the whole Madchester thing, with the fusion of sort of psychedelic 60s music, indie music, and the whole dance and rave culture that was coming in. Ecstasy was obviously a big drug at the time.
So New Order was pretty huge at this point.
New Order was like a massive inspiration.
Yeah.
And of course they're from Manchester as well.
Yeah, because Happy Mondays ended up at the Hacienda.
Yes,
but they
yes.
were kind of like the end of that era.
Kind of at the end of it. And the Hacienda was a massive kind of epicenter of the whole blending of the rock crowd and the dance crowd. And they can enjoy music that, you know, from both worlds, basically.
Music to take drugs to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's play a song.
That
you can take drugs to or not take drugs to.
No, never do drugs. They're
illegal. It's called I Want to Be Adored, and it's obviously a classic Stone Roses track, one of their kind of essential songs, I guess you could say. And it's actually the track that they usually open their live shows with, and it's obviously got that very distinctive bass guitar riff that kicks it off. And you get a sense straight away with this track, the kind of fusion of indie rock and sort of dance music that forms the basis of this record.
Time to enjoy.
Yes.
boy, oh boy.
Yes. That's I Wanna Be Adored. And now we're going to play the third track of the record and the fourth single. It's called Waterfall. And this one's another kind of those classic tracks from this record and has a very kind of summery, psychedelic sound, perfect for a beautiful blue sky day like this.
Mm.
Very distinctive guitar riff here combined with some dance kind of drum clubby rhythms going on.
Yeah, recommend lying in the grass to this song.
Yes, it is like
or
that.
Or if you're at work, lying on a surface, preferably on the ground, and just
buzz out, float away.
Yeah, just buzz out.
Yeah.
Buzz out with us.
Think of waterfalls. That sounds like a ship, actually.
Yeah. You're tuned into 95 BFM. This is Anniversary Albums with Sam Smith. Yeah.
Ask the mind.
Kia ora koutou mano, mai haramai ki te irirangi pōho e whakarongo koe kia anniversary albums with Sam Smith.
Morena, yes.
And yeah, we're looking at the Stone Roses debut album.
Yes, self-titled.
Self-titled album.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to commence the end of anniversary albums after this.
Commence.
Commence you away.
The Garden are coming to New Zealand March 8th at Yacht Club Raglan and March 9th at Whammy Bar Auckland. Having sold out shows across the globe, the West Coast neo-punk twins are heading down under with new tunes, a new album and a whole lot of swagger. You can call the dogs out and show them how to fight it. The Garden, March 8th at Yacht Club Raglan and March 9th at Whammy Bar Auckland. Get your tickets now from under the radar.
14-ounce jeans Kingsen wants to church up your look with their premium denim deals.
Grab any pair of branded table jeans for $80 or get two for just $140. Yep, two pairs of branded jeans for just $140.
Treat yourself to some quality denim. The best brands, the best prices, only at 14-ounce jeans outlet.
377 New North Road, Kingsland. Open 7 days. Two branded jeans for just $140 at one mother of a jeans store.
Were you at the gig on Friday?
What gig?
The Radical Maris Noise Collective. I never thought seven dudes playing saxophones would change my mind about capitalism, but hello.
Then
2 hours of Nightcore remixes of Every Time We Touch.
What even?
And a white guy did a rap about feelings. So beautiful.
What?
Stay in the loop with the 95BFM Entertainment Guide. Online and on air 7 days a week, three times a day. 10:20 a.m., 3 p.m. and 6:20 p.m. It's gigs in that.
Sorry, we were just talking about art and splattering. Because we had a really amazing text through. Stone Roses, technicolored splattered Manchester from the gloomy grey place it was.
So, yeah, so the word splatter just brought up the cover, of course, and of course it's influenced by Jackson Pollock.
Yes.
Who famously, obviously, has got the splatter technique splattering paint all over the canvas.
And he came from a miserable, dark place too.
It's the splattering is just, you know.
Or maybe you just have to counter it.
Exactly, by splattering paint everywhere.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so the reception and the legacy of this record.
Reception and legacy.
Very key words, yes. The album, so it was had a mixed reception at the time, both commercially and critically. It only managed to actually make number 19 in the UK and 86 in the States. The press largely ignored it, apart from Melody Maker and NME, who were covering the kind of Manchester scene at the time, and it would be a few years yet before UK indie music became more mainstream, I guess, and appreciated by wider audiences. Although the press it did get was largely favourable, and NME actually named it the second best album of 1989. But like a lot of albums that we talk about on Anniversary Album, its reputation has only grown in time, and it's now considered one of the best British albums of all time, and one of the best of the last 30 years, definitely. And obviously, it was the Stone Roses' defining moment and was a massive influence on Britpop, of course, which followed a few years afterwards. The band themselves, they could never really recapture the quality of this record, and they actually lost all momentum when they fell out with their record label, and they wanted to get out of their contract, and they ended up facing an injunction actually from their record label that prevented them from recording. And they didn't actually record for about 3 years after this record came out, so they kind of just lost all the momentum that they had. And once they did manage to record again, the magic was kind of gone, and the follow-up album didn't really live up to expectations. And
so what you're saying here is that there's no legacy?
No, for this particular album there is, yeah.
Yeah, but for this album.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I always did wonder why there was just the one kind of zone.
Because of the injunction they had, they couldn't record.
Because the record label intervened
exactly,
and ruined it?
As usual, that's usually what happens, isn't it?
Well, it's either that or something else.
Yeah, exactly. So they split up in 1996, although they did actually reunite in 2012, and they did some touring, and they actually came to New Zealand, and I went to that show, and it was really, really good. But yeah, they kind of disappeared again, and yeah, that's it, pretty much.
Close that chapter of that book.
Yeah, exactly. Right. In the end, though, we're going to finish with the second single and the eighth track of the album. It's called Made of Stone, and this was actually released as a single before the album came out. It's quite a dark, kind of psychedelic rock quality to it.
Well, thank you very much again for another wonderful anniversary album.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sam Smith. Okay, see you next week.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.